The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Diane Keaton has died at the age of 79. A long and hugely successful career, probably starting in terms of fame terms with one of her seminal roles, that being Annie Hall.
Hi. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. You play very well.
Oh, yeah? So do you. Oh, God, what a dumb thing to say, right? I mean, you say it, you play well, and then right away I have to say you play well. Oh, God, Annie. Well, oh, well. La-di-da, la-di-da, la-la, yeah.
Film critic Brian Lloyd is with us. That was what really set her on the global stage, wasn't
it? Yeah, very much so. And interestingly enough as well, the film was quite... it wasn't autobiographical, but it was certainly very much inspired by her. Like, for example, her real name is Diane Hall. Her real name was Diane Hall. And her kind of nickname among friends was Annie. So Annie Hall was based in part on her relationship with Woody Allen. He wrote her as a sort of an idealized version of Diane Keaton. And even in like the clothes and all the rest of it, I mean, like the kind of the ties and the waistcoats and all the rest of it, that was just her style. So like when the costume designer, I think Ruth Morley was her name, when she came in, she was like, okay, we already have something to work with here. We'll just kind of turn it up a little slightly bit more to kind of give it more purchase, you know. But
why was Annie Hall such a significant film? Because it is one of those that has both, it was both hugely successful, but also has a very dedicated cult following.
Oh, absolutely. And not only that as well, like massively influential. Like you can't look at a romantic comedy now between two people that have an on-again, off-again relationship in a city that has a large tapestry and it not influenced. Like I'm talking like Friends, I'm talking New Girl, any romantic comedy you can think of. About that, Annie Hall was the blueprint. And even Diane Keaton herself, I mean, she was, again, the blueprint for the sort of the kooky klutz, you know, I hate to use this term, but the manic pixie dream girl. I mean, Diane Keaton was the blueprint. And I mean, this was a characterization she did fight against quite a lot. You know, she did a lot of serious work over the years. I mean, she did, you know, Interior. She did The Little Drummer Girl. You know, she did a lot of, like, serious...
She did Godfather, too, of course.
Godfather,
she was
obviously,
the female
geez,
lead.
Yeah,
she
of course,
was so
sorry,
significant.
Yeah. So significant. But, yeah, I mean, she was always kind of sort of associated with that sort of kookiness. But there was so much more going on than that.
In Godfather 2, as a case in point, that is one where I suspect to some extent, maybe because of the sheer power of the movie and the attention that Al Pacino got... I'm not sure she ever got a fair shake of the critical stick in that, because she's very significant
hugely.
In that balance between the love for Pacino, but at the same time being willing to have the wool pulled over her eyes.
And that's it, isn't it? Like, I mean, you look at like The Godfather, for example, right? The final scene in that, if you remember it, is when Michael Corleone, Al Pacino, is sort of stepping into the role of The Godfather. There's the kissing of the hand. And the final shot of that film is the other one of the goons closing the door, and you just see Diane Keaton's face looking at it. You can just see this sort of like lingering resentment, bitterness. But then, of course, you go into Godfather Part 2, and that's just like stretched out even further, and it becomes more calcified, and then just becomes outright bitterness. And there's that great scene in The Godfather 2 that I always think of when I think of her as an actor. You think of that scene where she admits to Michael Corleone that she had an abortion because she just didn't want to bring another child into this. And like the way she roars and screams at him, it's so visceral, it's so real. And again, you know, it might seem old hat now or whatever, but the idea of a woman taking charge of her life in that kind of way was unheard of in the 70s. I mean, Roe v. Wade had only just been passed. And when this film was set, that was completely illegal. So again, you talk about a person who was groundbreaking and gave these kind of really, and I hate using this phrase, but these iconic performances. I mean, it was Diane Keaton.
And again, as you say, a fair spectrum in the kind of roles that she played. Another one that she, of course, is very famous for is Something's Gotta Give.
Okay, you stay where you are. We have a knife.
Do you live here?
Look, mister, I am going to dial 911 and you are not going to move.
No, you don't understand. I'm a friend of your daughter. If you just...
No, but just stay there. I was in the Israeli army. I can break you in half. Hello. Yes. Yes, I have an intruder in my house. 29 Daniels Lane, Sagaponic.
I'm dating your daughter, Marin. She invited me here for the weekend. She's in her room right now changing.
Oh! You're dating my daughter?
Now, who would have thought that would be worse news?
And what's even funny, I was only watching it last night. He's standing there in our bathroom, just wearing a wearing a shirt and his cacks, like nothing else. Like, so it's very, very funny. And like the daughter was played by Amanda Peet, who is like 30 years younger than Jack Nicholson. And, you know, again, like in her later work, I mean, it began in, I think it was in 1989 with Baby Boom, where she started working with Nancy Myers. And that was, I think, one of the last films she did with her. But she was very, like, her comedic time and her sense of wit, a very kind of dry wit, came through in all of her films, specifically in Something's Gotta Give. And again, talk about revolutionary kind of stuff, like Something's Gotta Give. She was 57 and Jack Nicholson, I think, was 64, 65. And she's naked in this film. Like, I mean, you see everything. Yeah, no, there's no hiding it. Like, and, you know, again, this idea of, like, you know, people in their later lives having romantic relationships, having sexual desires, and the reality of that. Like, there's a whole thing that Jack Nicholson's character has to take Viagra. And he, when he goes into the hospital after his heart attack, he like pulls it out because they put nitroglycerin in it, and there's a whole joke about it. And then even Diane Keaton herself, she said, like, oh, I thought I was closed up for business and all the rest of it. When she meets Jack Nicholson, it all comes back to life. And again, this was the kind of thing that, like, she was a woman and an actor who was not afraid to go to places that people weren't necessarily prepared to talk about, like.
What about off screen, her level of profile? How much did she commit to the celebrity lifestyle, if at all?
No, not at all. I mean, like, the joke with Diane Keaton was apparently that you could always spot her because she'd be the only person wearing a turtleneck sweater in 95 degrees heat in Pasadena, California. Like, she was very, very private. But I mean, she had, you know, a raft of famous lovers through the years. Famously, she dated Warren Beatty through the production of Reds. She obviously was associated with Woody Allen. But she did not buy into the celebrity.
And you were saying she was directed by Beatty in Reds, is that right?
That's right, yeah, the two of them. And that apparently was kind of the end of their relationship because the production was so fraught on Reds that they eventually broke up as a result of it. But yeah, I mean, she was very much didn't like buy into celebrity at all. I mean, there's an interview with her, I think it was for Interview Magazine, and Ariana Grande said, what does it feel like to be so iconic? And she's all like, it's very nice, but I mean, can you explain to me what iconic means? It's a very, you know, she was very, the ditziness, I mean, as much as she tried to fight against it, I think she was that, and she didn't really have, maybe she did, maybe she didn't, I don't know. But I don't think she had a sense of how impactful she was. And she very much did kind of stay away from celebrities. She didn't kind of buy into any of that crap. And rightfully so, because her work stood the test of time. She didn't feel the need to be constantly out there, constantly doing stuff.
Did she continue working into her 70s?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, her last film, I think, was about 4 years ago, I want to say. It was called Book Club. And it was this guy, again, I hate to use the word, but it was very kind of frothy, but it was all these iconic actresses in it, like a Jane Fonda was in it, and Sally Field was in it as well. It's all about these older women that read 50 Shades of Grey and get inspired by that to go off and live their lives. 50 Shades of Grey, though, Jesus, what a choice.
There's a lovely picture of her on the front of the Sunday Times today.
Yeah,
in the hat. Bowler hat and tuxedo and cummerbund and the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I mean, this isn't talked about enough, and obviously I wouldn't talk about it because what do I know about fashion? But she was a fashion icon. I mean, the whole idea of, like, you know, men's clothes being worn by women, that was her. It started with her. So this kind of notion of, like, you know, hats and, you know, the tuxedo there and all the rest of it, that was very much her thing, and she really did carry that the whole way through. And again, that's the thing. You think of a woman in a hat and sunglasses, that's Diane Keaton. Like, that's the iconic silhouette, as it were.
O'Brien, thank you very much. And the news there that Diane Keaton passing away at the age of 79.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.